What if everything you've been told about capitalism is wrong? Not slightly off, but fundamentally backwards. Johan Norberg began his intellectual journey as a skeptic of free markets, convinced they served only the powerful. Yet his research revealed something startling. Capitalism actually threatens entrenched power rather than protecting it. This isn't ideological cheerleading. Even The Economist, hardly prone to hyperbole, named his previous work a book of the year. At a moment when both progressive activists and conservative nationalists question economic freedom, Norberg's data-driven approach cuts through the noise. His central question is disarmingly simple. Has capitalism delivered on its promises? The answer, backed by mountains of evidence, challenges the popular narrative that our economic system is fundamentally broken. 20 years ago, critics claimed globalization increased poverty. Reality proved otherwise. Between 2000 and 2022, extreme poverty plummeted from 29.1% to 8.4%, the first time fewer than 1 in 10 people lived in extreme poverty. Even excluding China, global poverty fell by almost two-thirds. Child mortality dropped from 9.3% to 3.7%, saving 7.5 million children annually. Life expectancy jumped from 64 to nearly 73 years, while illiteracy nearly halved and child labor decreased from 16% to 10%. Ironically, the three decades after 1990, which critic Naomi Klein called capitalism's most savage form, saw greater improvements in human living conditions than the three millennia before combined. Countries embracing economic freedom developed rapidly, Britain first, then Western Europe and the US. Hong Kong and Singapore became richer than Britain through free trade. Taiwan and South Korea grew from poorest to richest in generations. China's post-Mao opening and India's 1991 liberalization triggered unprecedented growth. The Economic Freedom Index reveals GDP per capita is 7 times higher in the freest countries, with life expectancy nearly 15 years longer. Your morning coffee reveals how markets truly work. That simple cup requires tens of thousands of people collaborating across 9 months and 4,000 kilometers. Farmers, truckers, engineers, and countless others. This vast network functions without central coordination, with prices acting as information signals, like a GPS for the economy. Market economies make prejudice financially costly. Studies show Western market economies are the world's least racist societies. Southern railroads and buses didn't discriminate until governments forced them through Jim Crow laws. Companies resisted because discrimination alienated customers and increased costs. Capitalism breaks history's pattern of forced labor. While most societies used slavery or feudalism to compel work, the Enlightenment introduced the radical idea that individuals own themselves. Free markets emerged when people gained the right to form and exit relationships voluntarily, creating the double thank you phenomenon. Both buyer and seller express gratitude because each has done the other a favor. Globalization isn't the main culprit behind manufacturing job losses. They've declined across all industrialized nations, including export powerhouses. Japan and Germany lost over 30% of manufacturing workers starting in the 1970s. Singapore followed in the 1980s, South Korea in the 1990s. China has shed 5 million manufacturing jobs annually since 2013 while increasing output, disproving the idea that China simply took Western jobs. Deindustrialization actually signals economic strength. Since 1980, U.S. industrial production doubled despite fewer workers, thanks to robotics and AI. The wage stagnation narrative is equally misunderstood. While some entry-level wages remain flat, this ignores mobility. 70% of minimum wage workers advance within a year, earning 30% more. Americans earning minimum wage dropped from 15% in 1980 to 1.5% by 2020. Since 1990, inflation-adjusted wages rose 34%, with the lowest paid seeing 36% gains. The middle class hasn't disappeared, it's moved upward. Between 1967-2018, those earning above middle-class wages tripled from 10% to 30%. Wealth inequality is inherent to capitalism, yet benefits society more than critics acknowledge. Economist William Nordhaus found innovators capture only 2.2% of their innovation's social value. Consumers receive 97.8%. Imagine transporting an ancestor from 1800 to today. What would amaze them most? Not billionaires' wealth, but everyday miracles: running water, electric lighting, smartphones, vaccines, and children surviving to old age. Thomas Piketty's claim that wealth accumulates endlessly misunderstands entrepreneurship. Forbes' billionaires list reveals 70% of family wealth disappears by the second generation and 90% by the third. In 1982, 60% of the richest inherited their wealth. By 2020, only 27% did. While Oxfam highlights that billionaires own more than 4.6 billion poor people combined, redistributing this wealth would provide only 32 cents daily per person while destroying innovation incentives. Meanwhile, market growth naturally increases the poorest incomes by 6 to 8% annually, a far more sustainable path to prosperity. Market dominance proves remarkably fragile. MySpace, deemed an unbeatable, natural monopoly with 100 million users and a $12 billion valuation in 2007, vanished within years as Facebook displaced it. In 2001, today's giants barely existed. Google was a three-year-old startup, Amazon a loss-making bookstore, Facebook non-existent, Apple recovering from near bankruptcy. Their spectacular failures, Amazon's Fire Phone, Google Glass, Facebook Home, Microsoft's Zune, prove even giants can't force acceptance of inferior offerings. The notion that data is the new oil misunderstands its nature. It's actually the new sand, abundant but valuable only when refined. TikTok reached a billion users in 4 years, demonstrating how quickly new entrants can scale. Mariana Mazzucato's thesis that states, not businesses, drive innovation misrepresents reality. Her claim that the internet resulted from visionary government planning is mythological. ARPANET stemmed from Robert Taylor's practical frustration, with his pivotal Sunday meeting lasting merely 20 minutes. Analysis of six ambitious 1960s to 70s federal technology projects found only one worth the effort, while four were almost unqualified failures. Josh Lerner's research revealed that for each effective government intervention, there have been dozens, even hundreds, of failures. China's economic miracle stemmed from grassroots capitalism, not communist planning. In the late 1970s, starving farmers secretly privatized land, dramatically boosting productivity and forcing state enterprises to restructure. Around 2008, liberalization reversed as Xi Jinping dismantled collective leadership. Growth plummeted from 10% annually to barely 5%, with the tech sector under attack, Jack Ma's Ant Group being the most dramatic casualty. Environmental concerns have improved remarkably. Resource use has dropped two-thirds in the West over a century, while agricultural productivity has saved 3 billion hectares of forest since 1961. Planned economies were environmental disasters. Soviet factories needed 50% more materials and twice the energy as American ones. Prosperity enables environmental protection, as evidenced by solar power costs plummeting 89% in a decade. Despite claims of a loneliness epidemic, no such trend exists. People in individualistic Western countries overwhelmingly report having reliable friends, while 20-25% in collectivist societies say no. Market economies foster generosity. People in market-integrated societies consistently help strangers more. The results? Extreme poverty has fallen from 90% to under 10%, literacy has risen from 12% to nearly 90%, and life expectancy has more than doubled, all in 200 years. Capitalism isn't perfect, but it's lifted billions from poverty.